Hello, Nets. This is Jesse from Rock Sugar, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Keep it right here.
GeekCastRadio.com presents GeekCast Radio Special Episode on Non-Mainstream Music.
Hello and welcome to GeekCast Radio. I am one of your hosts, Steve Joe and Mike, and joining me is Mike the Birdman Dodd from This Week in Geek. Hello.
Good morning or afternoon or whatever the hell you're listening to them.
Yes. And JT from Saskatoon, who is apparently an authentic geek.
Well, yes, I am, and thank you for noticing.
Right. Fake Canadians. Bunch of fake Canadians, isn't you guys?
Mike,
ever?
I will create the technology whereby I reach through the internet and I slap you.
It'll never work.
It will happen.
It'll never work. Today we're going to be covering as much non-mainstream stuff in music as we possibly can. Essentially, I created this episode for Mike and for JT because every time I would say, hey, Mike, do you want to be on this decade of music discussion? He's like, well, I hate the mainstream. I listen to stuff that nobody really knows about. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever.
Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying that to be a hipster. Just so we're perfectly 100% clear, I'm not a Starbucks, big glasses, drinking motherfucker.
Yes, you are.
Okay, well, I'm not that big. I'm not like, I'm in the stuff you never heard of, like Rilo Kiley or shit like that. If you get that reference.
Stuff, so yes, you are.
No, trust me, that band sucks anyway. Or Tegan and Sarah, no matter what anybody says, they suck. No, basically, the big reason I always say that is, you know, I've worked in radio for a number of years, and back in college, you know, part of my job at the station was to be on air and to present to you the music that you, the people, the wonderful people, get to listen to, and 9 times out of 10, it's all shit. And if you're familiar with stations like Virgin Radio, which is a big conglomerate across Canada and the U.S., and the Top 40 with Ryan Seacrest, man, what the fuck ever happened to Casey Kasem?
He retired.
Yeah, and sadly, you get this cornucopia of crap, this Top 40 stuff. And so I decided, you know what, mainstream? We've had a good run. We've had a few late nights together. And hey, I've even been known to have some fun with some Katy Perry. Hell, I danced at a wedding to that song. So, you know what? I decided,
at least you
know what?
You didn't go the Rebecca Black route.
See, you know what?
God.
I've heard that song. It's tripe. I mean, it's terrible, but it's just I don't know what happens to the state of music these days. So you know what? I retreated into myself after PAX 2009, actually, is when I began my I became my nerd music elitism, is when I said, man, everything sucks. Fuck you guys. I'm out. And it's been pretty good ever since.
Yeah. Sorry, Mike, you go.
Well, for me, it's not with mainstream. Yes, I will agree with you. A lot of the mainstream, like the top 40 stuff, I think a lot of top 40 stations, especially here in the U.S., don't know what the hell top 40 is, because they will, majority of the top 40 station here in Louisville, Kentucky, will play rap and hip hop and dance music. That's, I'm sorry, those are three separate genres. There's already a rap station in this city. The top 40 station does not need to be playing rap music.
Yeah, you know? But like, that's the idea of top 40. It's what's popular.
Right,
different
right.
Genres.
It's
and
music
now,
by committee.
Right. Yeah, and I think at this point in my life, and I've said this throughout this epically long music spotlight we've done here at GCR, is that right now I pay attention to bands or artists that I've been listening to since I was a kid. Whether that be Hall & Oates, whether that be Billy Joel, whether it be Elton John, whether it be Nickelback, whether it be 12 Stones, Theory of a Dead Man, whether it be one-hit wonder stuff, doesn't matter. I'm more stream towards a specific artist or band versus listening to whatever the hell's on the radio.
I honestly
don't think I've listened to the radio since 2003.
I would argue you are very attuned to a specific sound. And I'm not saying that to be insulting.
I know you're not.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, outside of your terrible taste in Nickelback.
Shut up.
Okay, Mike, I got to interrupt you there, because you were supposed to join us on the Nickelback episode of the Spotlight, and I was really looking forward to it, because I wanted to hear how you really felt about, you know, the Canadian Jesus that is Chad Kroeger. But I said this to Mike in the podcast, it doesn't just reflect how I feel about Nickelback. It really how I feel about music in general. If I like it, if it hooks me, you know, not necessarily in the head, but the heart. Because for me, music is never about the lyrics. It's about the sound, for the most part. And like Mike said, like I haven't completely checked out of, you know, the top 40 radio.
Yeah.
But I basically listen. I've, at least for the last few years, aside from the stuff we'll talk about today, I've kind of just gone back to the stuff I listened to as a kid. Like I've gone back to, you know, I still have my complete cassette collection from when I was a kid. So, you know, I still got my, you know, I got my John Cougar Mellencamp. I got my Def Leppard. I've got, why in the hell do I have the Eurythmics? That must have been my dad's.
Hey, they're not a bad band.
Hey, Annie Lennox, I'm just saying. But it's just, you go back to that stuff that you once loved. But at the same time, you're always going to want to listen to something new.
Right. Well, like Mike and I didn't get into a long discussion on Twitter, but, you know, we made mention of our music libraries. And the way that I do it is I have, not counting music videos, TV shows, and movies, I have 2,957 items in my music library on iTunes. Out of that number of stuff, 1,330 songs makes up what I call my library faves playlist. Now, that consists of stuff from Seven Dust, Seether, Robbie Williams and Brad Paisley from the Cars 2 soundtrack to Survivor, Poison, Papa Roach. It's, you know, I can listen to a Nickelback song 1 minute, and the next minute the shuffler puts on Meredith Brooks's Bitch. So I listen to a lot of varied stuff. I don't just listen to the specific bands that I've talked about here in the spotlight, but what I'm saying is, as far as paying attention to music, I only stick to the artists and bands that I like. I'm not tuned into every single piece of rock or pop or whatever.
Yeah.
So I do have a varied selection of music.
I haven't found a rock group that has captured my attention for quite some time. And I just recently found out one of my favorite bands, their frontman and lead vocalist just left, Darren Miller of CKY.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, that really disappoints me. And I'm like, wow, that really sucks. Although it's really cool. He just accepted my friend request on Facebook. but you know what? There's just nothing out there in, I guess, the contemporary, very mainstream acts, or at least, you know, in that certain world, I guess, you know, more acceptable than, say, you know, as JT and I will talk about the nerdcore rappers like MC Frontlot, Adam Warrock, Mega Ran, etc. I don't know. It's just, you know what? It's like that world left us behind and it became about something more. And it sucks to see a band like CKY break up. Or at least not break up, change, because I always felt their music was a little bit different than most. I mean, they left their label, Roadrunner, a couple years ago, which was a wonderful choice by them. They did a release late last year for alternates and B-sides, which is fantastic. It had the lead song from Jackass 3. And I don't know. I really felt they were still there for me as a listener, and then things changed. And then even one of my favorite groups in the world, Rise Against, even their last album, I mean, it was good. It was okay. It just wasn't Suffer and the Witness circa 2006. It just wasn't the same anymore. And I guess that's why I've kind of retreated away from mainstream. Just, it seems like a lot of bands have changed, and not necessarily for the better. And a good example of this is Linkin Park. Their last two albums are fucking terrible.
Yes,
Sorry, Mike.
It's just like, Chester Bennington, and I gets it as an artist. He's allowed to grow, and I think I talked about this with Mike during like his episode. Yeah. And I get that as an artist, as a group, as a band, your sound should evolve constantly if that's the direction you want to take it. I mean, I think that's my big problem with Nickelback, for example. The sound, in my opinion, has not evolved enough over the course of the last 10 years. And with Linkin Park, they're one of the few rap rock hybrids that was legitimately really good. I mean, say what you will about Limp Bizkit, for a while they were fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then they degenerated into Fred Durst's dick on a very small screen when the sex tape came out, and they've never been the same since.
And to speak about Linkin Park for just one second, Mike, like Mike Shinoda, who's basically like, you know, him and Chester, the guys that, yeah, he actually spun off into a side project called Fort Minor a few years ago, which honestly, I like the stuff he did on that, which is basically a rap. I wouldn't know if it's a hip-hop collective almost that Mike came up with. It's all the passion he had in like Linkin Park. It was there, and it was more refined, because from the sound of it, the work he did there, it's like he actually, I think it sounded like he cared more about, you know, the hip-hop side of things than he ever did about the rock. And I think,
which is good.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the thing. It's not that his focus is split, but I mean, honestly, once they put a song into a Michael Bay movie, and I'm still of the opinion that guy is a virus in Hollywood. I mean,
he is.
All you have to do is watch a trailer for the Battleship movie, and I'm surprised you don't see his face plastered all over that. It's just, you know, like Mike said, you have to grow and you have to evolve. But once Linkin Park got involved with the Bay, I don't think they've done anything good since Meteora.
I think, honestly, the song for Transformers, What I've Done, which is off their Minutes to Midnight album, I think was probably their last really good popular single. I mean, outside, there was the other one. I can't remember.
New Divide from Revenge of the Fallen.
That was okay.
I like there's an instrumental version of that where neither Benningfield or Shinoda are singing. I like that. I like the instrumental of that song, but the song with the lyrics, it just sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's just more they should be doing. They're not, for whatever reason.
Right.
I don't know. And like I said, that's kind of why I left the mainstream. It's like I said, bands, they're changing not for the better, And then we get crap like Lady Gaga and, like I said, all about her message and whatever. But the music is not there anymore, in my opinion. Is this opinion wrong? It could very well be, because I haven't heard a lot of her new stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's why, like I said, I went into nerdcore rap. So why don't we start this, JT, by maybe going there?
Yeah, we can do that. Unless Mike has an objection.
Well, we'll do that, but we're going to take a break so you can hear a little bit about what nerdcore rap is. I almost said nudecore. Holy shit. That would be a really cool crossover. Porn and nerdcore. There you go. So we'll be back after this.
One, two, and three. Like OMG, I am HD. I'll fuck you up even on Wii. Kick your ass with Chun-Li. Kick your ass any game you please. DC me, my evil deeds. Can't even break the Assassin's Creed. You rock for free, I rock for a fee. First MC to Rocky 3.
Sega Tron Genesis. Call me the wizard, I'm number one on the list. Click, click, bang, the highest score. I'm the legend of the arcade. Speeding up your heart rate. Beat like a hard game. Wait. Down to 8 bits, bouncing like Donkey Kong. I'm going 8 shit. Hyper color, so you can see us glow. Glow, everybody, I wanna see you go.
And all I hear is Marvel versus DC. And all I see is a sea of people like me. And all I feel is the hate in their voices, ignoring the choices life is giving you and me. And all I hear is Marvel this and DC that. And all I see is a sea of people at my back. If you're trying to stop with all the naysaying, then Adam Warlock is here to playing. I made fun of the big guns, the breasts, the muscle bearing chests, absurd jackets and outfits.
Be impressed and steady grinding, trying to get the paper, gems and diamonds. Catch me rocking solid ropes, the best duo since Holland Oates. Wake up in the morning mad and custom, pour myself some Captain Crunch and I'm gone. And I'm off to the next case, all you fools is sorta lame. I'm chilling in the club with Corey Haim. If your looks could kill, I'm a 12-gauge shotgun. A DeLorean? Yeah, I got one piece. Matter of fact, you're fine, but I don't work for you.
I can play any style, so that ain't nothing. You still suck with that custom combo button. And all my tragedies, I execute with ease. The others need to please bring me the lady. And maybe it's Chun-Li or Cammy on her knees. But see, Viper serving tea to Ryu and to me. But see, my focus is so strong that I'm locked in a trance. And you must defeat Shenlong to ever stand a chance. Cause I'm a...
So yeah, I'm essentially going to hand this over to Mike and JT so they can talk about nerdcore and almost essentially educate me on it, because I've heard some of like MC Frontalot, I've heard some of Mega Ran, I've heard some of the Proto Men, but I just can't get into it. So this is essentially going to be their discussion. So take it away, guys.
Well, the Proto Men, first off, is not nerdcore rap in any way, shape, or form. Let's just get that out of the way.
Yeah. I mean, they're nerdcore rock. The argument could be made.
I would call them more, they're in a class of their own. They're basically rock opera, but I'll talk about them at length later. Nerdcore rap, what this is. Now, it turns out nerdcore's actually been around for quite some time. I mean, you could even trace it back to, I think, as late as, I think, I went to a presentation at PAX East, and I think you can trace this back to the 90s, maybe even
very late.
Maybe even nights. Before that. Well, there was a song, and I can't remember what it was or by who, but I remember the content. They had a rap about boogers, which is hilarious in and of itself. And, just how the hip-hop genre has evolved. But the big granddaddy of it all is, of course, Damien Hess, a.k.a. MC Frontalot. He's the guy who really kind of made it come out. Then there was the documentary Nerdcore Rising, which kind of paints an interesting scene of, well, the scene. There's so many different people in it, such as Adam Warlock, Optimus Rhyme, who I don't think is still together anymore, MC Lars, Beefy, Schaefer, T-Dark Lord, Mega Ran.
Yes.
MC Chris, and all these people who basically, I mean, nerdcore started off, I mean, a lot of people think it's like novelty rap, which, you know, you could make the argument for, but it's really, it's just basically hip hop and rap that just has a nerdy bent. I mean, what's the difference between rapping about blunts, 40s, and bitches when I could be talking about Star Trek, D&D, and building a PC? You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, yeah. It's rap that has a different heart. I mean, it doesn't have to be from the street necessarily of the hard life of gangs and the ghetto. It could be the hard life of the hallways of your school getting beat up to going home and watching Battlestar Galactica. And that's what I really like about it.
Well, yeah, no, that's exactly why I like it, is the fact that they're, you know, like you said, it's not blunts, 40s, and hoes, although who doesn't enjoy those things? They rap about the stuff that I care about, the stuff that I'm passionate about, video games, comic books, movies, like nerd, like I said, to speak of one of my favorite artists, Adam Warrock, you know, he has one of my favorite tracks of his is Marvel versus DC, where he raps about, you know, Marvel versus DC. And as being a lifelong comic fan, that just kind of speaks to me. And I mean, I actually, like, you know, mainly from listening to you, Mike, on your many podcasts through This Week in Geek, you know, that's where I really, it's like, nerdcore rap, what is this? You know, look it up, and I got into, you know, Mega Ran, MC Frontalot, you know, got into MC Chris because of his roles on Adult Swim projects, but that's kind of besides the point. It's just, I love this stuff. Like I said to Mike on the Nickelback podcast, it's just, it gets me in that, you know, that center, right in the heart of a lot of things that I care about. I mean, yeah. It's for me, it's really hard to, like, I can talk about stuff all day long technically. It's just when I talk about stuff I'm passionate about, it's just, I sound so simple, but it's just, I just can't really get it all out there. You know, it's just, I love this stuff so much. It's absolutely really hard to speak of.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat. I mean, I'm really passionate about the nerdcore scene. I've become friends with a few people in the nerdcore scene, most notably Mega Ran. I mean, I would consider this guy like a mentor to me, and like we've hung out at PAX East twice. I worked with him and his producer Kay Murdoch at PAX East 2010 and this recent PAX, which is really cool. Sorry. I commissioned a track. And well, yeah. Mega Ran had said he's not going to do any more Mega Man tracks. I commissioned Storm Eagle for myself from Mega Man X.
Yeah, and he also does your theme song for your Blip video series, doesn't he?
Yeah, rad. Yeah, he does. I don't know if we've ever decided on a name for it. We just call it the Rad theme song. But yeah, I mean, it's something I get into. I mean, just by talking with him, learning about the history of how things have evolved and his sound specifically. I mean, he does stuff that isn't all nerdcore too. I mean, a lot of his early albums were not nerdy at all. And just recently he had this fantastic Kickstarter raising over $15,000 to produce 3 albums, a comic book and a video game called Language Arts. And and depending on when this airs, it just came out. And it's fantastic.
When did it come out?
Came out. It should be dropping this week. I got my copy on Thursday, I think, for early backers. It comes out.
This will be out before. This will probably be out around May 15th, 16th. So.
Oh, in that case, yeah, it dropped like today, and yeah. It's fantastic. He's got collaborations with MC Frontalot, Kyle Abera of Dragon Ball Z fame, and it's just. It's a wonderfully produced album, and it's his story of him rising up as a teacher, leaving the system to live the dream as a professional musician. And something about that spoke to me. Now, he did this tour during the spring called, I forget what the tour was called off the top of my head, but he produced a couple of tracks during that time. One was about basketball superstar Jeremy Lin, which actually got a number of plays on ESPN. And it's a fantastic track just in and of itself. Even if you're not into basketball, it actually kind of got me into it. And I'm not a big fan of basketball. And he did this other track, which was a Mega Man Zero sample. And it was called Awakening. And I've never had a rap song move me so much emotionally that I considered getting the lyrics tattooed on me. there's one verse where it's I'm trying to remember what the hell it is. I want to innovate, and I want to travel through time. I want to stimulate minds or something along those lines. It's very inspirational. And the final words were, there's nothing worse than walking this world without a purpose. And it's that kind of intensity and emotional connection I get from nerdcore rap that I really dig. I mean, I don't expect MC Frontalot to pick me up emotionally and shake me to the core, but I still have a great time. Like, my first exposure really to nerdcore, actually this even predates my infatuation with MC Frontalot, was a group called the 8-Bit Boys, which is a collective of nerdcore rappers across the world. There's The Ranger from Australia, Entity from Philadelphia, YT Cracker, I'm not sure where he, I think he's in Japan right now, and all these other guys, and they just came together to produce this album called 8-Bit Boys. And I Google that. Look it up on YouTube. I mean, in my house, I annoyed the crap out of my roommates when I kept listening to Vampire Killer, which is based off Castlevania. And it's they also collaborated with guys like Kabuto the Python, which is another guy who does fantastic rap. And I don't know, like I said, there's just something about this genre of music I really dig, especially when they sample video game stuff. That's why I like Mega Man. He started off by doing Mega Man stuff, and now he's evolved. I mean, he had a fantastic concept album, came out last year. Then there was a remix album that came out early this year, Final Fantasy VII Black Materia, which is fucking fantastic. In fact, if any of your listeners want a copy of this album, Mega Man has given me codes to give out like 100 of them. So email me, mike@thisweekingeek.net. I'll send you an album. If you love Final Fantasy VII, you need to hear this. It's probably one of the best produced things I've heard in nowhere of a lot of the last 10 years. Now, I've taken this for a few minutes, JT, so you should probably say something.
Well, yeah. I mean, maybe I'll just speak to, like, two of the, like, I made, like, five or six contributions to what we're talking about today. I think the main thing I'm going to talk about, at least with the nerdcore rappers, is probably my favorite nerdcore rapper, is Adam Warrock, a.k.a. Eugene On, who, in doing my research, and I think you guys can follow me along with what I sent you, this guy's a lifelong comic geek. He's actually an He used to be a lawyer. Like, the whole life he's been into hip hop and comic books. And about 2 years ago, he decided to chuck it all, kind of like how MC Frontalot did, where he gave up, you know, a career as a teacher, and he went on to become
that this. That was Mega Ran.
Was that Mega Ran? Oh, sorry, I thought that was Frontalot. But yeah, so like Mega Ran, he gave up this promising career as a lawyer, and he went on to become a nerdcore rapper and MC. I mean, just. What I love about this guy is he wears everything on his sleeve. Like, his name, Adam Warrock, is taken from his love of the Infinity Gauntlet comic book miniseries from Marvel Comics, and the fact that he hosts a comic book podcast called War Rocket Ajax. So he just kind of he's full out, I'm a nerd, you know, love me or leave me. All his music features so many different references to stuff from pop culture, like movies, Doctor Who, Marvel Comics mainly, and DC. And he doesn't necessarily do the art, but he knows a lot of artists like Mike McCone, Salvador LaRocca in the industry, who actually contribute original album covers, and the flyers for a lot of his shows are based off of classic comic book covers. And I originally got into him rather by accident. It's a basically, what I do is when I come for work, I spend about 2 or 3 hours going mainly through YouTube and just watching videos. And I came across this one. I was looking up, you know, Marvel Comics, and came up with this track called Marvel versus DC, which is the first track of his I ever heard. And I found a link in the video where you can go to his website, which is, you know, adamwarrock.com. And this is the best thing about him. He's like a legit rapper, artist, performer. He has albums out that you can buy through YouTube or Bandcamp or something like that. But he also regularly, for the hell of it, creates raps off of like the TV series Justified or Parks and Recreation. and posts them for free on his website, which is one of the things that, like, I'm an internet pirate. I'm just going to say it. I like getting free stuff. And his, I don't want to say his narrative, but his flow, like, you can hear in every rap he does that he loves everything that he talks about. He loves his comic books. He loves his movies. It's just, help me out here. I'm looking for the right word. This guy, he just,
it's awesome.
Yes.
There you go.
Well, he completely embodies, you know, kind of what I would be like. I'm not saying that I have mental issues. I just have a lot of hard time, you know, being open about what I'm passionate about, because I live in the middle of the Kansas of Canada, and there isn't a whole lot of people like me out here. So it's almost like, you like comic books? No, no. Who told you that? It's a filthy lie. So it's just really hard. And
if you lived somewhere closer to civilization, people wouldn't be like that.
What do you mean, like Kentucky?
Hey, anywhere is better than Saskatoon out in the middle of nowhere, Canada.
Okay, I'll give you that one. But no, it's just, listening to his music is a huge release for me. I mean, to know that there are other people out there like me that are wholly passionate about comic books and such like that. It's a huge, like I said, it's a huge release, and it's, you know, gratifying to know that I'm not a freak amongst freaks. I think it's probably it helps me out a lot listening to his music. It's kind of like how I talked in the 90s music spotlight, how, you know, in high school I had, Bush and all that. Like, I was going through some, you know, not necessarily dark days, but certainly had some not so bright periods in my life. And, you know, it's had that music to listen to and kind of find my way out of the darkness. And it's not that I'm in a dark place now either. It's just, it's comforting to know that there are other people like me out there.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, that's not just specifically for the nerdcore genre,
yeah,
but that's with anything, with music or TV or cartoons or movies. If you're at a dark place in your life, or if you're at a place where you just don't want to deal with reality, that's what entertainment is for, is to be entertained.
Yeah, well, but yeah. It seems to me like nerdcore tries to raise up the best of us, and that's right. Something that Adam Warrock does, something that MC Frontalot does, and Mega Ran, and every other rapper we're not mentioning, they speak to what we are, and I think that's something that is unique amongst nerdcore, is the fact that it's these guys rapping about stuff like from comic books to video games to, like, one of my favorite songs by MC Frontalot is a song called Charisma Potion. It's about fucking D&D. And I, like, you know, as basically as a child as I am, one of my favorite lyrics is like, look at my cool hat and fuck you. Zero Day is probably, I think, honestly, his best album. And there's just so many feel-good songs. I mean, there's one where they talk about disaster movies. And here's the plot to every Roland Emmerich movie ever. Or there's a song that's nothing but spoilers about movies for, like, 3.5 minutes.
Yeah. And sorry, Mike, just, like, to speak about MC Frontalot, my favorite track is one that it almost has nothing to do with a nerdy subject. It's just a straight up great rap. Was Living at the Corner of Dude and Catastrophe.
Ah, yes, the collaboration with Brad Sucks, which was actually in Rock Band from the PAX Prime first pack back in 2008, I think.
Oh, I didn't know that. But yeah, I mean, that, and honestly, that's like hearing you talk about MC Frontalot. You know, I went and I looked them up on YouTube. That's the first thing I came across, is like a fan video of just like pictures of MC Frontalot from different performances and that. And I was like, damn, this dude is good. You know?
Yeah.
And all it takes is one, you know? And yeah, it's just like other nerdcore rappers. Like another guy I put in my list here just because I like his stuff so much was this guy named Jace Hall. You know him?
I have heard of him.
Yeah. Oh, he's basically, if I don't know, Mike, you know, I'm just going to call you Birdman. Okay,
that works.
There's two different mics here. I'm getting a little confused.
I'm not paying any attention right now. Well, I am. I'm listening. I'm getting educated over here, so yeah. Just keep talking.
Yeah, no, I mean, Jace Hall, for people who don't know who he is, he's, you know, lifelong video game fan. He's turned singer-songwriter. He's the, I don't know if he still is, but he, when I was doing my research, he's the senior vice president and general manager of Warner Brothers Interactive, which I thought was pretty cool. He still plays video games every day. He's done, for the last, like, 4 or 5 years, he's done, like, a video game talk show web series called The Jace Hall Show, where he interviews people like Stan Lee. I think he's interviewed MC Front a lot. Felicia Day's been on there in a lightsaber battle, you know, stuff like that. And he's done just basically a fan. Like, he's actually got some legitimate rapping talent. And he's done one of my all-time favorite, like, at least in the nerdcore genre, rap song. And I think Birdman's probably heard this, was his Street Fighter track.
Yeah.
Where he took the opening music track from Street Fighter 4 by this band Exile and crafted this epic rap about how he's, like, the world's greatest Street Fighter player, you know. And in the video, he gets, like, and I used to follow competitive gaming somewhat for a couple of years anyhow, because I had a dream, and then I realized that my skills were crap. And I don't just mean crap. I mean, the computer would beat me on easy. I tend to suck at fighting games, although they're my favorite genre. But in the video, you know, he gets guys like players like Daigo, Justin Wong, make cameos in the video. Plus, he gets an entire cast of characters basically cosplaying as the fighters from Street Fighter 4. And it's just a very well-made, well-produced, like, one of the best ones he's done. He's also did one called You Got Pwned, which is probably the hardest rap he's done, where it's basically a video game gangster rap almost about how he's, like, the greatest and you suck. It's just, it's more so listening to it, it doesn't really come across, but if you watch the video on YouTube, it comes across a lot more clearly. And he's another guy that I really like. I love his videos anyhow. His show is great too. I don't know, is there anybody else for nerdcore that you can think of, Birdman?
I'm trying to think here. I mean, so I've talked about the eight bit boys. They're wonderful. I'm just looking through my list on my iTunes as soon as it loads. Somebody take a look here if there's anybody we missed. I mean, Front, you got to listen to. The 8-bit boys, you got to listen to. You know what? There's a band you should, I'm trying to remember where the fuck I was going with this. I think we pretty much hit everybody who are the big mainstays. I mean, I don't know a lot about MC Chris. I've only heard some of his stuff. I'm not saying he's not good. I just haven't heard a lot of it. But no, these guys, they've hit it pretty much right on the button there. I mean, you should definitely check out the 8-bit boys. You should check out MC Frontalot, Adam Warrock, Mega Ran for sure. And a lot of his music is free, which is really kick ass. Another guy. He does the beats for MC Frontalot, or not for Frontalot, for Mega Ran, and his name is K Murdoch, and he does music under Neosonic Productions, and he just released an independent album earlier this year, and it's just remixing the music from Final Fantasy VI, aka 3 over here in the US. But that's something you should probably check out. YT Cracker is another guy you should check out.
YT Cracker.
YT Cracker, yeah, he's another member of the 8-bit boys, but he does his own independent stuff. He did an album called the Nerd Rap Entertainment System, NES, and it's fun, and that's what I like about YT Cracker. I mean, his lyrics are fantastically fast and witty. One of the cool things he did a free Chrono Trigger rap album, which is something I never thought I'd ever say. So that's something you should probably go out there and check out. Now, I guess, where are we going next? Because I could talk about the Proto Man for probably like 2 or 3 minutes.
We are going to take a break. We're going to go to some covers and cover bands, and we'll come back to talk about that. We are back, and as I said before, we're going to talk about covers and cover bands. Now, there's two very distinct differences there. There are bands that do covers, and then there are complete cover bands. For me personally, with covers, again, as much as people hate when we talk about these bands here at GCR, but like, you know, Disturbed, Nickelback, Theory of a Dead Man are the main three that I can think of. Godsmack has also done some covers, but you know,
Theory I wouldn't call them cover bands. I just say they've done.
Well, no. Well, what I'm saying is they've done covers. I'm not calling them cover bands. I'm just saying they are the bands that there's a difference between doing a cover versus being a cover band. And Disturbed, Nickelback, Theory of a Dead Man, Godsmack—they are all bands that have done covers.
Yeah,
Disturbed had Shout 2000, which was a cover of Tears for Fears' Shout. That was amazing. Godsmack has had covers of, what have they done? I know Dustin Vancour is killing me right now because I can't remember off the top of my head.
He's stabbing you through the internet.
Yes, I'm sure he is. I love hearing bands that I like do covers. Like, yeah. Theory of a Dead Man has a cover of Alice in Chains Got Me Wrong. Now, some people might say that's sacrilege, but they don't change that song. They don't change the tempo. They don't change anything with it. It doesn't sound, obviously, because Tyler Connelly is not Layne Staley.
Yeah, it just sounds slightly different.
It sounds like Theory of a Dead Man's sound, but it's still that same song. And I love hearing those covers because, to me, it brings those songs into a new light. I mean, the classic songs, the original songs are all great. They're all awesome. But just hearing it by someone else makes it sound so much cooler and more updated to me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, speaking of cover bands, like in Saskatoon, we got a couple local cover bands. One of my favorite is Mr. Brownstone, which is a GNR cover band. Because there's covers and there's cover bands. I mean, obviously.
Right.
So it's stuff like that that, you know, if you love the original song.
Yeah.
And then you hear somebody else do, like, their version, and it maybe the music's changed slightly. Something like that. You know, it sounds different, but if it sounds the same, you know, it just, they're putting their own unique spin out because they're fans of that to begin with.
So. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mike, where do you stand on bands that do covers or just entire cover bands?
I like when a band offers a new interpretation of a classic. I mean, one of my favorite cover artists is a guy called Richard Cheese. And he takes hard songs or songs that shouldn't be, you know, done into Vegas lounge swing style. I mean, he does a fantastic lounge version of Down with the Sickness by Disturbed. He does a piano interpretation of Baby's Got Back. He does Insane in the Membrane. He's like, un, dos, tres, quatorres. And it's this very Latin-inspired rhythm of that, and he's a very hard guy to talk about because he's so odd, and it's Richard Cheese, Bobby Ricotta, and some other guys, and they just do these really weird interpretations of famous songs. I mean, he does one song, and he's talking about Britney Spears when he goes into this bridge. My favorite part of that song, he's like, she's talented, she's beautiful, she's God, I want to fuck her. And it's just so good. I love River. He's just such a funny guy. Like I said, go look his shit up on YouTube. You definitely heard his music in 2004's Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead. He's the music that's playing when they're shooting the zombies from the roof. Yeah, I like it when a band can offer something, like I said, cool and new. Another one was a group called Nonpoint, and they covered Phil Collins' In the Air Tonight.
Oh, right, for the Miami Vice soundtrack.
Yeah, and this was a wicked interpretation of that. I mean, they turn into this rock song where Phil Collins, it's very soulful, it's very mournful. In this, they up the tempo, they change the beat a little bit, and it works out great. Like I said, and that's by Nonpoint. I haven't heard a lot of other stuff by them, which is really unfortunate. What was it? Sum 41 has done some pretty cool covers. There was one I really like of theirs, and I can't remember what the hell it is. Which really sucks, because I had a hard drive crash a few months ago. I lost about 300 gigs of music. Like, music that is rare music. Like, I've got master tracks from artists that have given it to me personally. I mean, one of my friends, Stan Bush, who's a friend of the show to Mike's and mine, has given me master tracks. Like, here's directly from the studio. Yeah. Like, here, if you want to play with this audio, go ahead. And I'm thinking, holy shit, that's fucking awesome. And, you know, I love it when I get stuff like that, because, you know, that helps people create covers. I mean, I myself have wanted to cover a few songs. I have very marginal musical talent.
You're doing mean how you remind me, though.
Hey. I think I do okay when my voice isn't shot. Yeah. I could sing pro on Rock Band. Actually, you know, that's another thing, too. I think cover bands have seen a rise because people find they can sing stuff because of video games like Rock Band, actually.
Right.
I think there's a direct correlation.
I think the only example I can give in my own town is, like, no one has ever heard me sing in the car, and I'm thankful for that. Because I usually end up looking like that white, what's his name, Michael Bolton from Office Space. Because I usually end up looking exactly like that.
Oh, God.
It's not, you know, NWA playing. It's something, I would say. But, and just to speak about cover bands quickly for a second, have you guys ever seen the Mark Wahlberg film Rockstar?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, do you know the story of that movie at all, Mike?
No. Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, well, specifically Aquaman.
No.
Check it out. It's actually not a bad flick.
Yeah, and it's based on a true story. Like, you know Judas Priest, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, back in the day, the original lead singer, Rob Halford, left the band. I forget exactly why. And there was this guy named Tim Ripper Owens who led a Judas Priest tribute band who, after I think the band's manager heard him play at a show, he hired him to replace Halford as the lead singer of, you know, Judas effing Priest.
Wow.
You know, and I love that band because my dad listened to it all the time. You know, God rest his soul. So I have an appreciation for it. So, yeah, I mean, this is like the tagline of the movie poster was basically the story of a wannabe who got to be. And that's sort of the thing that a lot of cover bands go for, is that they just want to prove they can rock out like that.
Yeah. You know, the thing with covers and cover bands, like, in the 90s, when Dave Matthews Band came out, there was at least, I don't remember what the name of the cover band was, but here in Louisville, there was a, there was just this huge uprising of bands, local bands here, that wanted to be the next Dave Matthews cover band. And it's like, oh, God, give me a break. Dave Matthews Band is good, but they're not that good that your musical aspirations should be to be a exact copy of that mainstream artist. Since we're talking about covers, we can't not talk about stuff like American Idol and The Voice, because The Voice Season 2 just ended. Jermaine Paul won it. He was a backup singer for Alicia Keys. He is now a solo artist. He did an amazing version of Against All Odds by Phil Collins and just knockout, drag down, awesome version of it. And it just amazes me how there are so many awesome covers out there, and there are so many bad ones as well.
Well, yeah. There are some people that just plain should shut the fuck up without putting too fine a point. And no, fuck that. With putting a dagger spear point on it, there are people that just plain fucking suck ass. But it's interesting to see how many people have discovered they do have talent from doing shows like that. And there's people who think they have talent and are discovered by shows like this. I don't know. I mean, I'm glad there have been some cool artists that have come out of stuff like this. I'm hoping it, you know, eventually we'd see something really kick ass and like America's Got Talent and see, hey guys, here's the Proto Men. Here's a band from Tennessee. Let's see what they can do.
Well, and Howard Stern is judging this year, so anything can happen.
Yeah, they'd probably get deemed too weird, but I guess that's the thing about the Proto Men. It's something you have to have explained to you first, and then you check it out.
Okay, so explain it to the listeners. Who are the Proto Men? Explain it briefly as far as...
All right, the Proto Men, what they are, they're a group of theater and classically trained musicians from Tennessee, from Nashville. And what they do, the best way to describe it, it's a Mega Man rock opera, taking the very basic elements that there's Mega Man, there's robots, Dr. Light, and Dr. Wily, and they fight. And, you know, it tells the story of Proto Men, the story of Dr. Light's first creation and how he was basically killed by Dr. Wily's robots. And Mega Man, Dr. Light's second son, goes to avenge him. And when he discovers, one after he's beat the crap out of Dr. Wily's robots, the leader of them is Proto Man. He's lost his faith in humanity and says, you've come here to avenge the Son of Light. You've come here to save them. But what you don't know is you can't do both. And it's this very emotional tale. And then the second act of the Proto Man, their second album called Act Two, The Father of Death, almost has nothing to do with the first album. In fact, you could almost consider it completely separate. The only thing, it gives backstory to Dr. Light and Dr. Wily and never calls them Dr. Light or Wily. They calls them Albert Wily and Dr. Thomas Light. And it's very much a throwback to different genres of music. I mean, there's a country song in there. There's a swing song. There's something that sounds like it came out of Journey. With a song called Light Up the Night. It's incredible. The thing is, though, these guys come out on stage in grease paint makeup. The one guy, the guy known as Panther, is the lead singer of the group, pretty much the front man. He comes out, sings a song in a motorcycle helmet as Mega Man, as Proto Man, and he plugs the microphone right into the back of this helmet. And he can come. He also has this big chain gun arm, which is pretty impressive to see. And it's the most electric stage show. I've seen these guys now 4 times. I'm going to see them again in like a week in Toronto with another. I should mention these guys as a cover band, Power Glove. I'll talk about them in 10 seconds. And I really recommend you go check them out. They're I think it's protomen.com. Buy their albums. If you like Mega Man at all, you will recognize some of the music influences. Right. But beyond that, it is probably some of the best music storytelling in the last ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I have seen, like, you know, when you tweeted about them and such, like, I have gone and seen, like, the YouTube links. And yeah, you're right. These guys, just the overall, I mean, the passion that comes out of their music is fucking amazing.
There was I went to PAX East this past year, JT, and you could see the passion in Panther's eyes as he was singing. There's one song called Here Comes the Arm, and it's at the end of Act Two, and he's talking about how there's a lot of work to be done. He has to avenge the death of his wife, Emily, and he just, you could see the passion in this kid's eyes. Like, you could see the tears coming out of him, the sweat. I've seen mainstream music acts perform, and never in my life have I ever seen anything compare to the hour the Proto Men took the stage at PAX East. Like, there's there are videos on YouTube of PAX East. Watch the Proto Men performance. Watch the entire performance and try and tell me that is not the hardest working act in music today.
Yeah.
Like, no, it, like anything you see will not match the Proto Men at PAX East.
Yeah. And I mean, not to, you know, belittle their performance, but one of my favorite, and, you know, Blanchard's favorite was the one we're going to talk about, was Rock Sugar.
Rock Sugar. This is hands down the best mashup band I have ever heard in my entire life.
You need to hear some Party Ben, man.
No.
This is the only mashup band I've ever heard in my life. So
this is easily the best. The main idea here is Jess Harnell, voice of Wacko Warner, voice of Ironhide from the Transformers movies, voice of a bunch of other stuff.
America's Funniest Home Videos, I found out.
Yep, he does the announcing on America's Funniest Home Videos. He and his buddy Chuck Duran, they created this band called Rock Sugar. He wrote the story within an entire weekend of how they're stuck on a desert island with, like, the journal of a 14-year, like, the musical library of a 14-year-old girl. And they are from the 80s, so they loved 80s metal. So what they'll do is they'll take the 80s metal riffs from, or, you know, whatever.
Don't Enter Sandman and Journey's right. Don't Stop Believing.
Right. They'll take Enter Sandman's sound and put Journey's Don't Stop Believing's lyrics to the Enter Sandman sound. And it's just amazing. They combined AC/DC and Madonna. Whoever thought that an AC/DC song and a Madonna song could ever combine? Yeah. It's called Shook Me Like a Prayer.
Yeah.
Combines Shook Me All Night Long and Like a Prayer from Madonna. It's just amazing.
Yeah. I think probably one of my, besides, like, Don't Stop the Sandman was the first one I ever heard from them. Fell in love with their style right from that song. My second favorite is a mashup of the former host of American Idol, Paul Abdul, and the greatest band in the world, Kiss.
Yep.
And they came up with Straight to Rock City.
Yeah.
See, if we're going to talk about mashups here, now, these guys perform these songs live, right? So these guys are a mashup band.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, no, they do them live. I mean, there was one, was it May of 2010? They were opening for Three Doors Down at the Beale Street Music Festival in Memphis. And I forget what happened. Down,
backed out.
Well, they didn't back out. They missed their flight. Yeah, something happened.
Yeah, it was something where they couldn't make the show. And the promoters had asked them, hey, can you guys stay? And they performed two sets all night long.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing is, like, I heard an interview with Jess Harnell on YouTube in a fan video where he's talking about that incident. He basically went, yeah, promoters are saying Three Doors Down's not going to show up tonight, but, you know, we'll come out and perform again. And everyone's like, fuck yeah. You know, and I mean, that's how good these guys are. I mean, obviously, it's like they went out, they performed twice in an evening, which is already makes them kind of hardcore. And then the fact that everyone's like, you know, I could stand to hear that song two or three more times.
Well, and the point of it is, like, they have one song called Praying for a Sweet Weekend, which combines Living on a Prayer, Sweet Child of Mine, and Working for the Weekend, those three songs, into one song. The point of it is they combine all these songs into each other, and it's so you can hear stuff that you remember. And a lot of people that I've heard talk about them have said Rock Sugar is essentially the new eight, you know, the new 80s and 90s. It's like the 80s and 90s, but better. Yep. When it comes to these songs. And
we have the technology. We can make it better, faster. Yes,
that's right.
And another one, this is probably the craziest mashup they did. They took The Blizzard, Ozzy Osbourne, Crazy Train.
Crazy Girl.
Yep. And mixed it with Rick Springfield's epic Jesse's Girl. Which, to speak about covers, there's a band called Frickin' A who basically they covered the song. They made it a little faster, a little more up-tempo. And when they shot the music video, the lead singer of the band is in a therapy session, and they're taking the idea of Jesse Girl, how this guy's obsessing about his best friend's girlfriend. He's talking to his therapist about it. The therapist is Rick fucking Springfield.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's just how awesome it is.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say about Rock Sugar is that they, Jess Harnell, I mean, man, we know, I mean, Birdman, you know, because you interviewed Maurice LaMarche. Maurice LaMarche is the ultimate impressionist when it comes to voice actors. Jess Harnell is the ultimate impressionist when it comes to musicians. I mean,
oh, exactly.
This dude, if you watch Don't Stop the Sandman, this dude can scream like Hetfield, yet soothe like Steve Perry. I mean, it's just fucking amazing.
Yeah, that's especially watching the video, because you can see when he performs the Metallica pieces how he's posing and he's acting as Hetfield would on mic.
Exactly.
And then he acts like how Steve Perry would when performing, you know, the Journey things. And the thing is, even if you're not looking at the video, you would swear you're listening to both of them. I mean, he's that good.
Yeah, it's that damn good. So on that note, we're going to take one final break. We're going to come back with our two final topics, and then we'll be back after this. So we are back, and before we head into our final two topics, Dodd wanted to talk about mashup bands, or what do you want to talk about?
Actual mashup DJs. I mean, if you've played the DJ Hero games, that's what this is. There are two guys I really want you to check out, maybe three guys. One of them I don't think does it anymore. I'm not 100% sure, but he's a guy called Aggro One. And you're talking about two genres of music that do not go together. There is one song by this guy called Aggro One. He's a wonderful mashup artist. You can find all his music. It's still posted online. I suggest downloading it before the website comes down. He does one mashup of Eric Clapton and Depeche Mode. Two artists I would never think would go together. He also does a version of, I think it's Kellis, who you may know from that Milkshake song. I know it's fucking terrible. But also Blue Oyster Cult's Godzilla. And it's really fucking awesome. So go check him out. Another guy you should check out. He actually performs a lot on the West Coast. He's a guy called Party Ben. And one song you should check out is a song called Galvanize the Empire, which is the Chemical Brothers Galvanize, and the Empire Strikes Back the Imperial March into one track. Go look it up on YouTube. It is fucking fantastic. Another guy you should check out, I think the guy's name is DJ Earworm, and he always takes the year's top pop songs and mashes them into one. And said it's amazing. I mean, just look up Year of Pop on YouTube, or Year of Pop Mashup, and you'll hear this guy. Fucking fantastic. This guy does a lot of really cool work. So those are some people you should check out. So I understand we're talking video games now.
Oh, yes, video games. And we're not talking about the awesomeness of Proto Man or Mega Ran. We're talking about the actual music of video games. The Super Mario Brothers theme, Legend of Zelda's various themes, the Mega Man music, the original Mega Man music. This is music that I could listen to all the time. I mean, it just is. I mean, the Super Mario Brothers theme is inevitably stuck in everyone's head that was a child of the 80s.
Yeah, it's something that Koji Kondo definitely hit right on the money when he did that track back in 1984-85. I mean, some of the music that I listen to is a lot of video game inspired stuff, and the one, there are a couple of bands here I really want to highlight that are very video game inspired. I guess you could almost call them cover bands, but I guess not. Arm Cannon. Now, I'm not saying that because I represent one of the guys named Danimal Cannon, who's actually a part of Metroid Metal as well.
Did you say Danimal Cannon?
Danimal
Cannon. Okay.
Yeah.
For a second there, I thought you were talking about the yogurt.
Yes. Yes. But yeah,
how are they not fronting for that stuff?
I will make that suggested to him later. I mean, I love listening to these guys who take a rock edge to Mega Man music. I mean, one of the coolest covers they do is, if you're a child of the 1980s, you may remember Hulk Hogan's theme from WWF, I'm a Real American.
Right.
They do a cover of that.
Oh, my God.
It is fucking awesome. To say the very least. Another band that I wanted to talk about, they do metal covers of video game songs and popular songs. Let me say, you haven't lived till you've heard a metal cover of the Batman song from Danny Elfman. The Pokemon theme. It's awesome. I went to a show with these guys, and this room probably had 2,000-3,000 people in it. Or something like that. And these guys are playing. Do you know what it's like to hear 2,000 or 3,000 people sing a metal version of the Pokemon theme?
No,
let me tell you, it's electric. That group came alive. These guys come out, these big Viking things, and they're fucking nerds, and we're singing along to like the DuckTales theme done metal and all this other ridiculous shit. It's intense, and that's Power Glove. Another guy you should check out for video game inspired stuff is, he's a DJ, and I've only recently gotten into his stuff, and he is named DJ Cutman. I saw this guy perform at PAX 2011, I think it was. Yeah. And it was just really fucking cool, to say the very least. And he actually just released a CD which is called Bagu and the Riverman, which is Legend of Zelda 2 music remixed.
Yeah.
It's really fucking cool, actually. And for you sound nerds out there, listen to this with a really good pair of headphones, preferably with the highest fidelity you possibly can, or basically that have the best frequency response. For those of you audio nerds, you know what the fuck I'm talking about. You'll know just how much that makes a difference in your music. And you can hear him use the Doppler effect, which is how sound travels from one side to the other. Basically, right. I'll give you a demonstration of it now. Listen closely. That's the Doppler effect. I'm a nerd, and thank you, Big Bang Theory, for giving me that idea. But anyway, so it's very cool to hear the sound mixing that can be done with video game music, because if it's chip based, you're limited by the tools you have, but you're only limited by the creativity. Which, right. If you listen to artists like Tommy Tallarico, who scored a lot of games on the on the Sega Genesis, for example, the Terminator video game soundtrack, you can just hear the little nuances that are played with it. There's one great song called Future Shock you should check out off that soundtrack. But DJ Cutman just does some wonderful stuff. He's completely someone you should be checking out. Another guy who's very chiptune-ish and video game inspired is a guy called Dr. Octorock. And he released an album. It was like $5 or pay what you want, I think. I can't remember which. And it was TV themes done 8-bit.
He did a Doctor Who Super Nintendo style theme, which is actually a ringtone on my iPhone right now. Because I remember coming across that when I was looking up stuff for myself. Like I said, I come home at 3 a.m. and I just want to listen to shit. But yeah, he did a Super Nintendo style Doctor Who, like from the Tennant theme.
Yeah, he did a Mask song, like the theme song from Mask, done 8-bit. I mean, if there was a Mask video game, this would have been the fucking theme song. It's fantastic. Other people you should check out. They're not so much video game inspired, but I just want to mention them really, really, really quickly. Kirby Crackle. They're a legitimate nerd rock band. Also,
Ring Capacity. Greatest song of all time.
Ring Capacity. Vault 101. The Great Lakes Avengers. Anyway, moving on. Project X. I don't think they're still around, but if you look their music up, they're fantastic. And they only covered Mega Man 2 and 3, but with a rock edge. And I use their music in a lot of stuff. I really should credit them more. but I don't think they're around anymore, which is really unfortunate because these guys are really fucking talented. And I don't know much more about them other than their albums. Another band, you can find these guys on Bandcamp, called Rush Coil. Obviously you can tell where they got that name from. They're pretty cool too. You can't talk about video game music without talking about Crush 40. Crush 40 does almost all the vocal music you hear for all the Sonic games now, which right. There hasn't, in my opinion, there hasn't been a bad Sonic soundtrack in a number of years. My favorite, honestly, Sonic Free Riders. The song Free, I mean, say what you will about the game, that game stab you in the eye, but the opening theme song is fucking amazing. And there's a Crush 40 cover of it. They also did the theme for Sonic Adventure, etc. Like I said, look them up, Crush 40, they're fantastic. Another band that I should probably mention here, or at least if you're talking about video game stuff, I can talk about video game scores all day.
That's what I want to kind of transition into, is because what surprises me is that, okay, outside of like the Super Mario All-Stars Wii Super Fan Edition that was released for the 25th anniversary a while ago.
Which was complete crap. But go on. Well, yeah.
The music was good. I mean, it was nice to have some of the music and the sound effects from that bonus audio CD. But to my knowledge, and again, I'm probably talking out of my ass because I don't pay attention to this stuff enough, I would love to have actual video game soundtracks. I mean, I know I've got some like from some of the Need for Speed games, but I don't think any of the Metal Gear Solid games have an actual CD soundtrack.
There are over 20 of them.
Really?
Oh. The music from Metal Gear is... There is a CD collection. Just let me look it up because it's quite extensive.
okay.
It then. Is 35 CDs deep.
Wow.
And yeah. Is fantastic. There's also dramas in there. There's also music from the Game Boy games. There's also stuff from the Konami Crazy Racers, the Dream Mix World Fighters game, stuff like that. Yeah. But yeah, the music for Metal Gear is phenomenal. I can't talk enough about Gregory Hanson Williams' scores for Metal Gear 1, 2, and 3, although I think 2 was his best work, but I think the best theme song was Snake Eater. Number 3 was Cynthia. I can't remember her last name. I want to say Harnell, but I'm not sure. Yeah, trust me, that's amazing. The Resident Evil games also have an extensive collection of music. I don't have music for Resident Evil Revelations or anything beyond that, simply because I don't think the music's been released. But there was a 6-disc box set that came out a couple years ago in Japan called the Biohazard Sound Chronicle, which was a fantastic collection of music. But the thing is, I think a lot of that music, you really have to play the games to get where the music comes from, to really understand and give it context, which I think would affect your listening pleasure of it. Exactly.
That's why I asked about Metal Gear, is because I've played MGS 1 and 2, and I absolutely love those games. Hence why I want that music at some point. So, I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, playing a Resident Evil game or whatever game it is, obviously you would have to play the game first to appreciate the music.
The only game I might say that maybe there are two video game series that I think are able to transcend this, and only because their scores are so remarkably well written. And that's Marty O'Donnell, and I can't remember the name of the other guy. I'm really sorry. is the guy who did the Halo soundtracks. And I'm just trying to pull his name right now. That's Marty O'Donnell. And what's your other name? Michael Salvatore. Fantastic.
I was going to say, you're a Halo nut and you don't know that off the top of your head. There's something wrong with you.
I didn't know the collaborating artist, but I know it was Marty O'Donnell. I don't know whether he did Halo 4. It hasn't come out yet, and I don't know. But anyway, Reach being a fantastic example of his work, though I think his best across the series was Halo ODST. Say what you will about the game, but there's some great... It's weird to hear jazz and Halo in the same sense, but this is very jazzy film noir-esque score to it, and it's a beautiful soundtrack. Another one that should be mentioned, and this one I did not expect to like as well as I did. You guys know I'm a huge Mass Effect fan. Jack Wall did the soundtracks for the first two games and collaborated, I think, on some of the DLC. Then it was another guy who did the third soundtrack, whose name completely escapes me at this moment. But wonderful music there. There's one track, the one track I would recommend you listen to from Mass Effect is the ending credits theme to Mass Effect 3 and the Elusive Man from Mass Effect 2 by Jack Wall. Also, the Collector Base and the Suicide Mission are also wonderful tracks from that game. Basically, great scores, great use of an orchestra to convey the sense of emotion that you get in these games. And some of this music, depending on how the connection you have to the characters, can really change it. I mean, there was somebody on my Facebook wall, and I can't remember who said it. This was probably a couple years ago when Mass Effect 2 first came out, talking about how when they first saw the Normandy rebuilt, the SR2 by Cerberus, that music made them cry because they were so happy to see the Normandy rebuilt. And that music swell with Seth Green saying, "Look at her. That's my baby. She's back." And that really hit them home. So that's another artist who should be recognized for their wonderful contributions to the video game world. I think Mass Effect's the best work they've ever done. Another weird bit of video game soundtrack stuff. This was very weird. I mean, back in 1994, everybody was talking about Mortal Kombat. There was a group in Germany called the Immortals, and they released a 10-track CD based upon the first Mortal Kombat game. Now, this is before the movie.
This is Mortal Kombat the album, wasn't it?
Yes, and this is I'm surprised you know that, because not a lot of people know about this, or at least talk about it anyway. And it was the most retarded thing ever, but oddly catchy. And this is where everybody knows the Mortal Kombat theme from. This is the group that originated that.
Yeah.
Another soundtrack to talk about, and it's going to sound really retarded. Honestly, the Pokemon CDs have some really good music on them. It's weird. I mean, listen to the score for Pokemon the first movie, or even the themed CDs from the Pokemon series. There's one called Pokemon To Be a Master, which is a lot of in-universe songs, like I'm on the road to Viridian City, or like a five-minute version of the Pokemon theme, or Double Trouble, which is the Team Rocket theme song. It's ridiculous, but it's so much fun, and you don't see nearly enough in-universe video game stuff like this. I mean, I don't know. I think it's cool. You should check it out. I don't recommend you pay a lot for it, but you should check it out anyway.
The only reason why I know about that Mortal Kombat, the album, is because I don't know if it was released at the time that it was released, I think, like 2 weeks before the original movie came out, because
it was released about a year. It was tied into the video game more so than the movie.
Right.
But it was only available through mail order. It was really hard to find.
It's funny because I got caught in a mall when I was like, you know, when did Mortal Kombat come out to theaters?
95.
Like
95, 96.
Yeah, 1995, 96. 95, as soon as Mortal Kombat came out, the movie came out, I got caught shoplifting that album out of a Sam Goody. So it didn't just go to mail order. It went to stores.
Maybe initially it was only available, because I remember that's how we got it, was via mail order.
Yeah. Probably initially it was, but it got a mass release because there was that, and there was also the actual soundtrack for the movie. And I loved that Mortal Kombat album because I love the original movie. Annihilation, not so much. Annihilation is more of a guilty pleasure of, oh, hey, this is on. There's nothing else on. Why not torture yourself with this?
Yeah, make a drinking game out of it, that's all I got to say.
You can do that. And I mean, you had the movie soundtracks. You also had, I guess you would call it almost a Mortal Kombat concept albums. It came out with Mortal Kombat, More Combat, which is
greatly underappreciated CDs, I might add.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great album. I actually own all three. So, and I don't know if we know we're going to cut it short a little here. If I might speak on one last topic before we get
to that. That's
fine. It was a band called Hyper Crush. And this is I actually found them through MySpace, of all places. And, well, MySpace has had a certain niche in the musical world since its inception, pretty much. It's basically, I guess you call them electronic hip-hop group from L.A.
Right.
Basically, they sample a lot of video game, like stuff from NES games, Super NES. They use music and audio clips from a lot of 80s movies like Karate Kid, Back to the Future. And again, like I spoke earlier about Adam Warlock, a lot of not their entire catalog, but a lot of it is available for free to download or pay what you want on their website. And I got to say, I just love these guys, A, because they take a lot of references from the pop culture of the 50s and 80s, specifically how they dress. I mean, every time you see them perform, you remember how back in the day you had like the very bright neon colors and everything?
Yeah.
So they dress like they're still living in the 80s, for one thing. And this is something a Birdman might appreciate. The lead guy of the band, Donny Fontaine, he's the rapper. When he performs on stage, he has a modified laser-firing power glove.
Nice. Not as cool as, say, Keith Apicary's power glove suit, but still, that is pretty good.
But I mean, the first time I was like, you watch the video he uses in the video for their track, The Arcade. And I'm sitting there and I'm just like, I love the power glove. It's so bad. But no, I mean, these guys, like Mike was saying about, Birdman was saying, like video game, how they sample, like these guys permanently live in the 80s. I mean, pretty much every track they do, it samples something from an NES game.
Right, yeah.
In fact, they're fans, and this is one of the coolest things before we, go to the close here. Their fans are called the Zapper Gun Gang. Specifically named for the NES light gun, which I was like, God, I wish I never got rid of that. Because I miss me some Duck Hunt, man.
I'm sure you can find it fairly cheap somewhere.
The cheapest I have ever found it in Saskatoon is like $50.
Really?
For the gun.
Jeez.
Wait, a zapper's $50?
Yeah, like I
said. Apparently in the middle of bumfuck nowhere Canada, yeah.
Yeah, I actually, because I might be moving to Saskatchewan. I actually did some looking on Kijiji, and yeah, there's not a lot out there, so I have a feeling the rad retro hunts will be significantly curbed. Which means I'll probably drive to North Dakota or Montana to do them.
Yeah, you got flea markets, you got garage sales, and you got, well, technically two different video game stores, although one of them has two different locations in the city. So,
all right, so that's going to wrap it up. We're going to go to some commercials and some other musical clips, and we'll come back to close the show after this.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you and your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
I bet you're asking yourself, what could I be possibly doing here of all places? Well, I'm laughing at the fact that this new podcast presented by Geekcast Radio is called Legends of the Dark Knight. Who the heck knew the bat was so popular? Ugh. Join Steve, Mike, and sometimes Tara for reviews on the greatest DC animated universe cartoon to ever meet Gotham City. So join moi for the talk of the town, or I'll send Captain Clown after you. He gets mighty angry when he doesn't get to have his garbage skull. So put on a nice big smile and join us for the next Geekcast Radio Network podcast, Legends of the Dark Knight.
Yeah. Another year. Here we go. I think this is gonna be the best one yet. I'm up early in the morning, breath's thinking as I'm doing this another sunny day in PA. Got my mind focused on a lesson I'ma bring to the brethren, cause the kids be forgetting these days. I think I'ma start small with a little right end, then move the type in, try to make it exciting. I then hop by the bed with a smile on, stretch with my eyes on, turn the laptop power on. Got an email saying I got 3 sales, all in Japan, and all of them females. At the shower singing new raps I pin, don't want a shirt and tie, slacks I've been saving for a special occasion. The first day, grab a banana, starving in the worst way, driving to school, pumping s'mores. Talking, they mad at Cole, cause he gave up for a walk. Stop at the cell, pour a coffee and a donut. See a young boy, talking loud to the grown-ups. They all discussing these fads and such, complaining how these kids can't pull their pants up. He obliges when they ask him, but he leaves the store, and they right back sagging. In 20 minutes, that bell's gonna ring. First day of school, time to do my thing.
It's nice to meet ya, I'm gonna be your teacher this year.
Everybody in the room with a hand up, waving around like you know the answer.
It's nice to meet ya, we're gonna have some fun.
Everybody play your part, allow me to welcome y'all to Language Arts.
It's nice to meet ya, I'm gonna be your teacher this year.
Everybody in the room with a hand up, waving around like you know the answer.
It's nice to meet ya, we're gonna have some fun in here.
Everybody play your part, allow me to welcome y'all to Language Arts. charts.
First off, I'm Mr. J. I've been teaching 5 years, and in my spare time, I hold a nice career. I make music, but not just any kind. I'm a poet who combines dope rhythm with rhyme.
We are back, and that's gonna do it for the non-mainstream stuff. Thank you to Birdman and to JT for joining me. Essentially, that finishes out the music spotlight. We're going to come back next week and do a total wrap-up. So we hope you enjoyed this episode of GeekCast Radio. Wish you'll join us next time when we're going to close it out, as I said. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with...
Mike the Birdman Dodd.
And JT from Saskatoon.
Thank you for listening. Until next time, keep rocking out.
You've just listened to GeekCast Radio on the GeekCast Radio Network. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First, visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show and leave us feedback in iTunes. Third, follow us on Twitter at GeekCast Radio. Fourth, become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradio. Call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for and your name. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.